Thank you, Brother Steve. All right. If you'd like to take your hymn books and turn to 250 this morning, 250, we're going to begin with Burdens Are Lifted at Calvary. Chapter 8 this morning, Romans chapter 8, and our message today will be taken from Habakkuk 2. So I forgot to mention those at the start of the recordings, but Habakkuk 2, just towards the end of the Old Testament. But right now we're going to be reading in Romans chapter 8, and Romans chapter 8 has, I like portions of God's word, chapters that have good, what I call, combat verses of the Bible. And it reminds me very much of the days that I used to study karate and jiu-jitsu for just a few years. And they used to teach you all these roundhouse kicks and sweeps and throws. And yet and all, you know, the thing that it's normally a right hook that stops a fight whenever you're out and about. It's the simple things. It's not the fancy stuff. And there are many beautiful verses of Scripture that are comforting and uplifting, but the ones that I do believe that people really need to hear are the ones that I learned early on, and there's quite a few of them in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, and neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. The creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Thank you for that. Some very powerful verses, verses that many people need to hear. Lost people need to hear. I just want to remind you, I think we're almost back to normal. We have a little yellow prayer list this morning. Please do make sure that you get yourself one. And God doesn't mind if you pray with your eyes open. You know that. If you have to... Steve, if I have to go down there. If you have anything you want to add to that, we'll be putting you up at the front on the desk that the teacher can keep an eye on you with. If you have any prayer requests that you want added to that, please do let us know and we'll write. In fact, if you have any right now, does anybody have any other prayer requests that they need to make?
Yeah.
Pardon?
He's under hospital.
Okay.
He's there somewhere. Yep. Yeah. Hospital John Ritchie. Or John Rich. John Richel.
I just
score that L out.
I heard a good thing, his walking's not very good at all.
Okay.
He's deteriorated somewhat.
He's going for help
somewhat. Is he?
Yeah.
Am I going for
help? You are.
Is anybody anything else they'd like to add to that? Any thank yous?
Thanks for all the blessings we've received, brother.
Got that. Thank you, brother. Thank you that everybody pretty much is able to make it out, except for Esther. We're missing Esther this morning, but she's just not keeping 100%, so please do be much in prayer for her. Do pray for John, if you would. John McMahon, that is. Do also pray for Will's dad, John. Yes.
Sorry, can you go on? I'll stop you there.
Go on ahead. Go on ahead.
I know we've mentioned David Moore before.
Yes.
He has been left on, but there's some tests coming up that he has to get through that are going to be very painful for him.
I think his name is on, isn't it?
It's under cancer.
It's under
under cancer.
Help cancer.
Right. All right, there we go. Hi, because Monica got the piece of paper that I actually wrote that on the other day last night, so I know for a fact that that's on.
I was sure we'd mention it.
Aye. There's a lot of folks that's having a lot of difficult times. I think one of the things that they mentioned at the very start of all of this was that a lot of people that really should have been in hospital were not going to be taken into hospital, and we're finding that that is actually very much the case. So, yeah, there's a lot of folks needing prayed for. Amen. Used to say your health is your wealth, and it's never been more true than right now. So please do pray for that for each other as well. Anything else? Nothing else. Okay. Right.
What about the work on the church?
Yep. Pray about the work in the church. The Charities Commission as well. Haven't heard anything from them since. That's a good thing. The ball's in their court. I hope that's all that they need to send us an email and a wee certificate that we can put at the back to say that we are now officially a registered charity and that we can acquire the land for the church. It's either that or we meet in somebody's living room.
Disciples use caves and hovels and stuff like that.
If you saw the amount of work that Norman and me and my dad put into the roof in that church, I'm not moving, and if I do, I'm taking the roof with me. The roof is coming with me.
I was the supervisor.
Anyway, let's have a word of prayer, and then we will continue. Oh, sorry, just want to mention as well, it was in the news, and I know President Trump's not everybody's favourite person, but his brother died yesterday. So please do pray for his family I'm sure that'll, some people are not very gracious about it, but he lost his brother, so please do pray for him. And of course, all the countries that there are out there in the world that are going through something similar. In fact, most cases an awful lot worse than we're getting it here in Derry and Northern Ireland. So there's a lot going on. We need to be much in prayer. So anyway, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for the day and for life and health and strength. Lord, pray that you would grant our prayer request for those that are ill, for those that have cancer. I think on that fellow David Moore, but especially on John Ritchie, on Esther at this particular time too. We're glad to have Pat and Steve back, and pray for Steve's health too, for a wee bit of wisdom and a wee bit of get up and go for the doctors. Lord, you know everything that's going on in the world, and I pray, Father, please, that you would direct the paths of those that walk the corridors of power. Lord, there are so many decisions that could be made differently and for the betterment of citizenry, and Lord, for the whole world. I pray you please convict greatly of sin and judgment to come. Convict greatly, Lord, of executing the office of leader, governor, prime minister, whatever it is, appropriately and accordingly. Father, we just thank you for loving us, and thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to meet together. And Lord, I pray that you would bless our time together. We love you and praise you, and pray that you would be one of our number for the remainder of the service. And we ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Christ Jesus, according to your will. Amen.
Just a closer word with this. I can't remember the number, but
319, thank you, Christy. My eyes just got there whenever you mentioned it. 319. If you want to stand, you can stand as we sing. Just a closer walk with thee.
I tell you one thing for sure, you're going to remember something about the service, even if it's me I messed up. Right, let's start again. Hymn number 319, Just a Closer Walk with You, the take two.
Satisfied as long.
got there in the end. Thank you for that. And forgive me for my technical difficulties. We're in Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. If you would like to take and turn there. And we're going to read the whole of Habakkuk chapter 2. The title for the message this morning is, You Should Run. You should run. Habakkuk chapter 2. Amen. I'd like you to pray for the new gym that has opened up at number 40 Maboy Road.
I'm afraid it closes down.
And I'm not kidding you. Please do pray. Yes?
Is there a prescription in there?
That is a good question. If I see anybody in this church up at it, I'm going to chase you down the road with a skinning knife.
How many can ask?
He's, by all accounts, he's one of the fellas from DW Sports that went bankrupt or into liquidation or closed down there. And he's probably just trying to make a crust. But I tell you what, it's odd whenever you have complete and utter strangers driving 10 yards from your front door when you haven't been used to it. But please do pray. His name's Graham. I used to work with him in Desmond's. He used to work in the warehouse. And I didn't recognize him for a bit, but I did upon reflection. Anyway, please do pray about that. And do bear in mind all of our prayer requests. I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, Write the vision, and make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine, he is a proud man, neither keepeth at home, who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people. Shall not all these take up a parable against him, and a taunting proverb against him, and say, Woe to him that increaseth that which is not his, how long? And to him that ladeth himself with thick clay? Shall they not rise up suddenly that shall bite thee, and awake that shall vex thee, and thou shalt be for booties unto them? Because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. Woe to him that coveteth an evil covetousness to his house, that he may set his nest on high, that he may be delivered from the power of evil. Thou hast consulted shame to thy house by cutting off many people, and hast sinned against thy soul. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, and the beam out of the timber shall answer it. Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood, and establisheth a city by iniquity. Behold, it is not of the Lord of hosts that the people shall labour in the very fire, and the people shall weary themselves for very vanity. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him that giveth his neighbour drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. For thou art filled with shame for glory. Drink thou also, and let thy foreskin be uncovered. The cup of the Lord's right hand shall be turned unto thee, and shameful spewing shall be on thy glory. For the violence of Lebanon shall cover thee, and the spoil of beasts which made them afraid, because of men's blood, and for the violence of the land, of the city, and of all that dwell therein. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image, and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Amen. You may have guessed that verse number 2 is our text this morning. I want to speak on the subject of, you should run. You should run. Amen. Christy, would you lead us in a word of prayer, if you would, brother, please.
Scripture the pastor read this morning. Lord, we thank you in advance for the message that you laid upon his heart. We ask, we pray for heavenly wisdom, Lord, for boldness, for Lord, just Holy Ghost help and power, Lord, as he preaches and proclaims your word, Lord, open hearts and minds, to strengthen your people this morning, save all souls, Lord, accomplish your will on the earth today. Lord, remember those that should be here and aren't, Lord, and those that can't make it out as well. We pray and ask for a touch upon the sick this morning, Lord, for help for those that are weary in their walk, Lord, if you would just help them, Lord, please, and strengthen them as well, protect them from the wiles of the devil. Lord, it's good to be here this morning. We ask and pray that your hand be upon our pastor, Lord, and every other pastor that stands and proclaim your word, Lord, to the flock. Lord, that you would just please be with them, strengthen us in these days. Help us, Lord, please. Remember those that are grieving and lost loved ones as well. We pray for a touch of comfort for them. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Habakkuk is not often preached from. An excellent little book. I believe he's one of what they call the minor prophets. That does not mean that he dug underground for coal and oil and gold. That means he didn't have very much in quantity to say, but well worth looking at and reading, because over the years, the centuries of God dealing with the children of Israel, God sent many prophets. Some of them, like Isaiah, wrote huge tomes of many, many chapters. Habakkuk, I think he only has 3. But each and every one has a dire warning to those that would reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. As we were reading here, I think I actually saw the devil in there, the Lord talking about the devil, because thou hast spoiled many nations, all the remnant of the people shall spoil thee, and they shall not all these take up a parable against them. And if you read about the devil in Isaiah, it talks about all the people that were fooled by him. He said, is this the man that caused nations to tremble? Behold, he has become like one of us. And that is the very end of all of those, sadly, that reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some very explicit warnings in this portion of God's word. There's warnings about just wanting stuff all the time. And the Lord quite plainly said in Luke, I think it's Luke 12:15, he said, look, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. There's more to life than stuff. Most times the people that have the most stuff have the most troubles to go with it. There is more to life. He also says, be careful about violence. Now, I am sure we could walk to the doors of people that just need a good slap. Need a good shake. Or somebody's toe up their backside. And sometimes we're guilty of being that person ourselves. I'm sure at least God sees us that way many times. But whenever that is the way you live, the Bible does talk about chastisement, and it does talk about mothers and fathers chastening their children. It does talk about a chastening in the church as well for people that are going off the rails. But generally speaking, if it's to come unto death, it's normally at the hands of God, unless it's for a crime, of course. As even as we are reading this, does anyone recall to mind a city that might actually have applied to? Does anyone remember the city of Nineveh? It was called the robber city. And it was a city of blood. In fact, the cries of it and the crimes of it had actually risen to heaven, so much so that God decided to give them one last chance. Anybody got a name? Jonah. Jonah. He sent Jonah to preach to Nineveh, the robber city.
Judgment was about to fall on them and God gave them a chance. And that's the same for everybody. Judgment is about to fall. God still gives you a chance. And one of the verses, it's quite interesting that even as an ignorant pagan many years ago, I still knew some of the Bible verses that pertain to alcohol. It says, if you give people drink to take advantage of them, or even just to see them drunk, God says, I'll sort you right out. Not in a good way either. It's not like I'll sort you right out for the money I owe you. It's I'll sort you right out for a thick ear and a fat lip, God style. So this isn't anything new. This is a message that has been preached to the children of Israel all the way through Jeremiah, through the weeping prophet, warning and pleading with the children of Israel, would you sort yourselves out? God is not mocked. If you take God for granted, if you think that he's just a handy little extra wee piece of armour or a wee gadget you can put in your pocket to help you out, or a spare tyre you throw in the back of the car for whenever you get a flat and that's all you ever have to do with them, I am afraid you're getting it the wrong way round. God is the car. He's not the tyres that go in the car. He is the car. And if you're not in the car, you're not going to get anywhere but hell and the lake of fire. We all know how Israel's following in quotes of the Old Testament went. Daniel, Ezra, Nehemiah, all of these prophets were preaching in the middle of the judgment that God sent upon the children of Israel. And coming up to the end of the judgment, that would be Ezra and Nehemiah. Ezekiel and Daniel tend to be around the middle of it. And they told of some awful times. And you would think of the number of times that not even the children of Israel, but Christians, whenever we, in the words of the song, when we go our own way, Fleetwood Mac, things don't go well. Many times have we decided to go our own way. We're on fire for God. We're getting up early. We're reading, we're praying, we're fired up. We can see the line and we can walk it. But then we relax. And then the line sort of blurs a bit and eventually disappears. And we start doing stupid things again. Israel never learned. Because even whenever we go past Habakkuk and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi and head into Matthew, where do we find Israel? They're not under the jackboot of the Babylonian Empire anymore like they were in Daniel, or the Medo-Persian empires were coming to the end of Daniel. We're under the jackboot of Rome. The fourth of the five world empires prophesied in the book of Daniel. The children of Israel still hadn't learned to obey God. God said, I'll let the Roman Empire dance up and down upon you for a few years until you do what you did in Egypt and cry out to me. And here we are. It is only in the past generation that Israel has been able to stand upon its own two feet again, in accordance with biblical prophecy. And you know what? If he will do that to the people that he has called to himself and set apart as a peculiar people, as a nation, what's he going to do to all those that reject him and hate him? It's not looking good for the Christ rejecter. If he will chasten you and I whenever we go wrong, what will he do to those that hate the Son? Anyway, like he had so many times before, I'm reading actually way back in Exodus when Moses, and we preached on it there on Wednesday evening, when Moses was up on the mountain, fellowshipping with God, and thought everything was fine, and God said, Moses, you better get back down that mountain again, because the people have corrupted themselves. They've made themselves a god that allows them to do just whatever they want. You need to get back down there again. Things haven't changed. They haven't changed at all.
So God said, write it down. Put it in tables. Not necessarily tables of stone. But make sure it is there for people to read. And it has been. This book that we... There's no point in us crying over the spilt milk of the many hundreds and thousands and even millions of souls that have gone before. Because that's done and dusted, friends. We can't do a single thing about those souls that have rejected Jesus Christ. We can't do a single thing about those that are lifting up their eyes in hell being in torment. We can't do a single thing about them except learn from them. And make sure that those that have gone by and are watched to hell and then in the fullness of time to the lake of fire, make sure that never happens again to anybody that we know. God said, write it down, make it available, make it understandable, that he may run that readeth it. And of all the books that have ever been written on the face of this world, the Word of God is one of the easiest books to understand. I think there's only one or two that are easier, and I got through them by the time I was out of primary one. Does anyone remember Peter and Jane and Pat the Dog? That's what we used to learn, and the words were about that size on each page, so that our wee eyes that weren't trained for looking at letters and understanding. And that's about the only books that's actually easier for a child, for anybody to read and understand. The Bible is easy to understand, and it also comes with a promise that as long as this earth is spinning through space, the Word of God will be available to the people that are standing on the surface of it. The problems come with the understanding of it. Like, how many people, literally, how many people do you know that if the Word of God, if they understood what the Word of God said about them and their lifestyle, if they really understood, do you remember the day you got saved when you understood that you were a sinner in the hands of a vengeful, of an angry, but also of a loving and saving God? What did you do? Whenever you realized you got to the throne of grace as quickly as possible and you pled your case with Jesus Christ, Lord, please have mercy on me, a sinner. I didn't hang about whenever it happened to me. I ran up through the middle of a church when everyone was coming the other way. I needed to make sure that day. But the problem comes with the understanding of it. This has been around for so long, and there have been so many perverted versions and so many compromised gospels preached. People don't know whether they're coming or going. It's a bit like the way things are at the moment. Oh, if you wear masks, you'll get sick. If you don't wear a mask, you'll get sick. If you do this, you'll get sick. And if you don't do it, you'll get sick. People don't know. They're running around. But if people actually stopped just for a moment and looked at God's word, the problem is the truth of everything that's going on in the country and indeed the world right now is not being made available. Or it's there, but it's couched in so many lies and half-truths and deceptions that people just don't know. And that's the way it is with most people today in this world. Just like the people of Israel back in Moses' day, they had a wee God that they could point in any direction and do anything they liked, and their wee God said, that's fine, you just do whatever you want. That's the way most people are. They don't realize that God of the Bible does not take kindly to being used to bless. Have you ever come across the soul that says, oh, God bless me as I go out and do whatever I blooming well please? Instead of, God, what should I be doing? Bless me as I do your will is the prayer that should be prayed, but mostly it's bless me, Lord, as I do my will. That's worse than a false God. That's the God of your own hearts and desires. That doesn't work very well for people. If we really believe the Word of God, this book, do you see this book that we actually have on our laps? Open on our laps, I hope. Do you know how many people gave their lives for you to have that book? Do
You know, if it was up to the Catholic Church, the Bible would still be in Latin, and there would only be the priest able to understand it. Do you know if we followed the Presbyterian Church right now, we would have the NIV, and it's just as dangerous in eternity as the HIV. These churches that used to stand for something, if the people that started them saw what was going on in them today, they would burn them to the ground and walk away. We need to sit down and understand what it is that God says to us. And I can guarantee you, the Bible says that whenever somebody does understand it, anyone that reads it and understands it, it says they'll run. When they understand what the Word of God says, they will run. To me, that speaks of a little bit of urgency. Because I don't know about you, but life is precious, it's temporary, and it's fragile. I have certainly found that out over the past 8 months. It is so fragile. And that is why the Word of God, New Testament, tells us that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow. It sort of sounds like, I got a wee, you might be able to see a wee cut on my arm. It's about an inch and a half long. It's a boo-boo. And I cut it on a bit of chicken wire. The chicken wire just scraped me. And the two wee drops started coming out, and I thought, my arm doesn't normally do that. That must have been a bit worse than I thought it was. And so the blood just dripped down my arm. And I wasn't that concerned about it. I just rubbed it under the, ran it under the tap whenever it came in and wiped it with a cloth, and it's fine. But what if it had gone an inch deep into that arm and cut one of those big blue blood vessels? What would you think? You might be thinking, if I do that there, that blood squirts out a bit further. You'd maybe be thinking, I'd better go and get that sorted out. But friends, what Christians, what lost souls don't realize today is that's what sin does to you. Sin is like an open wound, and it is literally leaking your life away. If you don't get it sorted out, you're going to bleed out. Basically, what God said to the children of Israel is, read my word, find what you're doing wrong, and run and fix it. Now, I've heard a lot of preachers in years gone by. I heard one guy say one time about some of these guys being so heavenly minded that they're no earthly use. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. And some of these, I have to admit, there's some things I don't like preaching on, because they're really not that much use to Joe Public. We need things that we can use. There's no point in telling me about a Damascus edge knife that cost £1,000 when really all I need is a £10 pocket knife that cuts string. Right? Some things are just no use to us whatsoever, and some things are. When you read the Word of God, when you read the Word of God, does God ever talk to you? Does God ever speak to you? And what's your reaction? There's a whole bunch of reactions. I remember sitting down in the church whenever I first started coming here and thinking, how did he know that? You know the way you do when the preacher's just touching on every sin, you're going, how did he know that about me? But it wasn't him, it was God saying. If you preach about every sin, you're going to convict somebody of their sin. That's just the way it is. There's one reaction. Who does he think he is telling me what to do? That's an honest reaction. That's pride. Because if it says it in the Word of God, that's what we should be doing. There are no ifs, ands, or buts, and there are no mitigating circumstances. If it says it in the Word of God, that's what we should be doing. Another reaction would be, I'm not coming back to this place. Every time I come in here, he tells me everything I'm doing wrong, and then he smiles and tells me to go home and have a blessed day. It is. It's a genuine reaction.
And then there's another reaction, which the guy or the gal sitting in the church, and the preacher comes out with their favourite sin, and they go, "Oh, boys, that there's my nails cut right down to the quick there. That or my toes are hurt, and the preacher danced all over my toes." But do you know what? He might be right. In fact, forget that. I don't know if the preacher's ever right, but I know the Word of God's certainly right. Maybe I should be glad that God actually took the time to give the preacher those half a dozen words for me, that he could just sort of steer me in the right direction again. There's a whole bunch of reactions. And I just want for you to know that regardless of what you believe and what you think and what you put your faith in, all of the things that's in the Bible have either happened or are happening right now. And based on those, I believe the ones that are still to happen will happen. You know, some of the things that have happened to us were prophecy only 50 years ago. Do you know that? 50 years ago, some of the things that we are seeing right now were prophecy. If we were to go back 70 years ago, Israel wasn't a nation. It was just about to be a nation. Pictures had been given life already as far back as the old black and whites with Charlie Chaplin and co. The images given life. We didn't have a global communications network, which we now do, so that when Jesus does come back, every eye will see him. Maybe 80 years ago, we couldn't kill every single living being on the face of the earth, but now we can. There's a whole bunch of stuff, and there's more in the Word of God. We couldn't have given everyone the mark of the beast 50, 60 years ago, but now we can. Now we have the power, technologically speaking, to enable the devil to achieve his crowning at the pinnacle of his desires, to be like the Most High, to know you, just like God knows every hair upon your head and every thought of your heart. Because some people are stupid enough to put it all on the internet. Why would you do that? Anyway. Whenever this little verse says run, you don't just run and go like that. They're like a chicken running this way and that way and this way and that way. You have a direction that you should be running. So, where do you run to? Whenever the preacher says you must be born again, I want you to bear in mind one thing. He didn't say it to the guy lying in the gutter drinking. He didn't say it to the prostitute selling their body on the street corner. He didn't say it to the man with the bag of swag and the stripy vest and the wee Batman mask on, or Robin mask on. He said it to a minister. He said it to one of the leaders of the Jewish country, the Jewish people, Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a thinking Pharisee. And he said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again. Where do you run to? Where do you go to get born again?" I tell you what, the government's certainly not helping with it. The education system's not helping with it. The military is certainly not helping with it. The social services are certainly not helping with it. And unfortunately, most of the churches haven't a clue what it means. You run to Jesus Christ for salvation. Because of the way so many people live their lives with their false gods, their drunkenness, their violence, their covetousness, people are running okay. Not to the Christ that will wipe out their sins, but to the things that will make them forget their hardships, their sins, conviction for just a little while. And even whenever they get into church, they're twisting the scriptures so that they fit them. And they think everything's okay, but the church says, the Bible says this. Aye, but if you read it in the proper context, if you read the verse or three before and the verse or three afterwards, you'll find out it means something different. You've heard the one about Bible dingo, haven't you? About the preacher saying to the woman to believe the Bible, and she said, "Well, I just normally open the Bible and read a verse, and that's what I practice." And so she opened the Bible, and the in the New Testament where it said Judas went and hanged himself, and she closed it and opened it again and poked her finger at a verse and said, where it says, "Go and do thou likewise." That's not how you read the Bible. It has to be read and studied and thought about and prayed over if you want it to be bedded down in your heart. When God says to his people to get into church, that's what we should do. We should run to church. Not all the time, but you know what I mean. We should get out there. Who knows what things you're going to remember. I pray you remember more than just the fact that we botched just a closer walk with you earlier on. But we should run, because God says we need to be in church, especially as things get worse and worse, like it is right now. And it doesn't matter that God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. He knows everything that's going on. Some people think just because God knows everything that's going on and is everything that's going on everywhere, that God is everywhere, therefore I am as close to God at home as I am in church. That's not true. If that's the way you live, you're being disobedient. Because God said, get to church. It's for you. It's for the people that know you and worship with you and pray with you, and likewise for you. Not just you, but you know what I mean. I'm not giving off to my wife. When God says you ought to be a bit better sorted out with your Bible. Because people say, did you read your Bible today? Yes, I read a chapter of the Bible. That's good. That's good. But the Bible says, did you memorize any of the Bible today? Well, and this is getting at me too, because there's been weeks that have gone by over the past few months that I couldn't be bothered. I thought I would have been meeting God sooner than actually getting to his word. He means it, because we need it. And I saw me many's a time before we went out tracking, memorizing a Bible verse that I knew I would need to win a discussion with someone at the door for their very souls. And those are the battle verses of the Bible that I have committed to my heart. We need it. And it's not just to carry it to other people. But whenever you're lying in your sick bed, and you can't see, and you can hardly lift an arm, but you know the verses of Scripture. They're comforting. They direct your mind towards God instead of worrying about everything else that's going on. They keep you right. And they'll keep anyone else right that you care to open your mouth to and let the Holy Spirit select what comes out. We need to read and study and memorize our Bibles. When God says, you need to go out and tell other people about me. But that's just for the pastor. No, it doesn't say that in the Bible. Again, if you'd been reading your Bible, you would know that. It says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't say just the pastors or just the Pharisees or just the ministers. It says you. That's everybody who reads it, who opens the page. Tell people about the wonderful things that God has done for you. The example was set many times. Do you remember the demoniac of Gadara? The man that was so fierce, he was like the Incredible Hulk that everybody worships. Yeah? Oh, the high would love to be as strong as the Hulk. Do you remember we Mason used to run around? Was it Hulk, Spider-Man, Captain America, and Iron Man or something like that? Hulk smash, because Hulk don't think. And everybody was terrified of him until he met Jesus. And after he met Jesus, he was found clothed and seated at the Savior's feet in his right mind. And he wanted to follow Jesus, but Jesus wasn't going into that country. So he said, you go into that country and let me tell you something, friends. Jesus isn't in this country right now. He said, you go into this country and tell them about the wonderful things that God has done for you. We need to preach. I'll tell you what, even the lostest of souls will tell you in business today, in the in the world of gathering as much money to yourself as possible will tell you. You only remember a little bit of what you hear. This is for us. You remember a little bit more of what you see and hear. But you remember a huge amount more of what you see and hear and do. And so when we don't just hear it, but see it and do it, we remember more of it. It's better for us. We ought to be doing that. When the Bible warns us about the personal trouble coming our way for rejecting God's wisdom, we ought to run and find out what exactly it is that God wants us to do. Goodness, there are enough people with destroyed lives. How many people's doors that even used to come to this church? Lives are in tatters now because they rejected the preaching of the cross. They could take you to their doors. How many of us has God saved from disaster simply because we listened to the word of God? I know there's only a handful of us here today, but each one of us could point to a time in our lives when God quite literally saved our lives, our futures. I know that. What should we do? If anyone ever, when they were wee, had their mummy or daddy tell them to do something, go and do that for me. And so many of us used to treat it like a request. Would you mind going and doing that for us? If you treated it like a request and did it an hour later than you were supposed to, or never even bothered with it at all, how did that work for the relations between you and your mother or father? That would have meant for, or made for, a little bit of a frosty dinner time, or maybe quite a toasty one around the rear end. How do you think God, and that's only for chores maybe, or homework, for our own benefit. When God asks us to do something for our own benefit, or even for the benefit of others, we should be hop, skipping, jumping and running to do it. Because people's lives and eternities are on the line. Does anyone remember the old promise of God? I think it's from Genesis 12 where God was talking to Abraham. And he said, look, Abraham, see when it comes to all your kids and grandkids and all the people, he says, anyone that blesses you and by extension them, I'll bless them. And anyone that curses you, and by extension them, I will curse them. That's still in effect today. And you just put your eyes on every country that has had the knives out for Israel and look at the shape that they're in right now. Even our own country, we're guilty of it. We, as in, I think either America or Britain, promised Israel a land of their own for their help in producing synthetic acetone for gunpowder during the Second World War and went back on it. We're paying for that. And look at our country. We have departed from God as a country. What do you think is going to happen? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Now, I'm not trying to be a Debbie Downer. I'm not standing up here and telling you your lives are for nothing. You're useless, good for nothings, because I would have to stand in the mirror and say that first. Because we're all guilty of it. We have all fallen short, not of the glory of God anymore because of His Son, Christ Jesus, but of our being obedient sons and daughters. What are we going to do? All of these things are true. They're all in the Bible. We can turn on the TV and or flip onto the internet and we can look up all these things and they're happening just like it says they are. What are we going to do to make sure that we don't end up like that? Slacking off, ignoring God, the God that saved us and gave His life for us. Well, the first thing you do is make sure you're saved. If you're finding yourself in a place where you think you don't need God and you don't bother to go to Him in prayer, you never feel the desire to read His word or be in church at anything other than the point of a sword, I think the first thing you need to do is just go to God in prayer. And just say to God, you know what, God, I've been going my own way for years, but now I think I want your opinion. I've had my own opinion for years. I want your opinion. Help me. And God's just asking. He's just waiting for us to say, God, give me a wee bit of your Jimmy Rafferty. Have you ever heard of that? A wee bit of common sense. I think that might be a Newry or Dublin saying. That's what my dad used to say. Use your Jimmy Rafferty. Use your common sense. And God's saying, I was just waiting for you to ask me that. I have a truck full of wisdom and there's a big bag of it with your name on it. Have it. Get smarter, get wiser, and pray about everything. I know I have hammered on many times in the services about praying for everything. And I know I've used the crazy example of praying about eBay. I do, I pray about eBay. That's the craziest thing I pray about. But I'm praying about your man that's running a gym that has strangers going up and down through our yard. I pray about the cars that eventually will need fixed whenever I can be bothered to go and visit the mechanic. I pray about the food that I eat. I pray about the aches and pains that I have. I pray about the cats. I pray about the mice that I don't want to have. I pray about all that stuff. The crazy stuff. As well as for each one of you. You guys get prayed for anyway. But the crazy little stuff gets prayed about too. I pray about my language. I pray about the fact that sometimes you just want to slap people because they're so stupid. That's not a proper attitude for a Christian. So I pray about it. I pray about the people that I have to chasten. I pray about the people who are going to suffer because of that. I pray about those that have slipped and slid. I pray about the people of goodness. Everything. Because there is a promise in the Word of God. When you pray about everything, the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. But more than that, when you pray about, Lord, I've got five girlfriends or boyfriends on the go, and that's a night. That's one night a week each with a weekend to recover. When you pray about things like that, you start to realize, like, well, maybe I shouldn't be living that way. When you pray about, Lord, I'm just going to go home and I'm going to crack a couple of tins of tenants. When you pray about that in God's presence, you start to think, maybe I shouldn't be doing that. When you pray about cursing and swearing at that fool that couldn't get an ounce of sense into his head, even if you used a 9-pound hammer and a railway spike, and I'm sure there'll be somebody that'll try, start to maybe think, Lord, maybe I shouldn't treat them that way. When you bring these things into God's presence, it's a funny thing. If you can't bring it into the house of the Lord, maybe you really shouldn't be bringing it into the presence of God in prayer. Pray about everything, and you will get, before too long, God's view on it. And it doesn't just say, and I don't just mean, well, do you know what, God? I was listening to the preacher, and he said, pray about eBay, drinking, drugs, immorality, world peace, etc., etc., etc. And I just want to tell you about those things, and I'm away in case I hear what you actually think about those things. Because la 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 la, I don't want to hear what you have to say. Do you ever see the wee kids doing that? Running around making noise and say, no, mummy, I never heard you. We haven't grown up that much. We still do exactly the same. If you pray about all of those things and you find out what God actually wants for all of those things, you might find that the changes that He asks you to make and enables you to make are actually for your betterment. Where are we?
Bethel.
Aye. Those are just things for you and me. But this is talking about everybody in the entire world. For thousands of years, all of these things have been available to mankind. Thousands of years, at least 2,000. And there's nothing new in it. Even technology, for all our wisdom and for all our so-called knowledge, even technology only confirms what's happening in the Bible to be true, what was written 2,000 years ago to be true. And we should be excited whenever we see that happening. A wee bit of the downside. If you knew there was a robber going to break into your house, what would you do? Be waiting with a baseball bat behind the door? Or a tripwire with a couple of knives or a big,
I ended up, and I don't know how I got it, from home base with a piece of wood that thick with like 300 screws in it. It looked like one. Did you ever see the Indian fakers lying on the beds of nails? It looked like that. So if you knew a robber was coming, you would put that in front of the door with a tripwire so that he fell onto it and made sure not to come back again. Or would you put the live wire onto the door handle and wait for the screams? Or leave man traps about, or just sit with your shotgun ready? If you knew the robber was coming, you'd make sure and get ready. You would fortify the house, you would put an extra bolt in the doors, you would secure the windows, you would make sure all the doors were open and your friendly Doberman wasn't fed. And the free run of the house. You would do something. Only an idiot wouldn't do something. If you knew you were sick, and you needed treatment, I was going to say you'd go to the hospital, but I don't know where you would actually go now. You would do something about it. And yet these warnings have been here in the Word of God for as long as men have been walking across the surface of this rock, spinning through earth, or spinning through space at 24,000 miles an hour or something crazy like that. And yet people wander about oblivious, being robbed blind by the world, the flesh and the devil. Do you know what? I used to say that you couldn't depend upon people's feelings and world opinions because they change that quickly. Friends, I am getting vertigo and dizzy spells at how quick things are changing in the world today. People's opinions. Goodness. Jesus is coming. And he's coming in the clouds to gather his children off the face of this earth, just prior to him sending 21 world-destroying judgments for all of those that are left behind and have rejected his word. And this has been in the book for 2,000 years. God has warned us. He has made it plain to anyone that will take more than an hour or two out of their life just to read it and find out. Why aren't they running? More to the point, why aren't we? There are going to be people that are going to go and spend the rest of their, not their lives. Our lives are going. Can anybody hear the ticking on the clock at the back? Anybody
hear? Right.
I thought I heard a tick, and then I thought, no, all I can hear is the.
I can see the wee seconds going on my watch. Right?
And every one of those seconds is like the 70 years in the endless ages of eternity. We don't even miss it. I don't feel myself growing old. Like I shaved before I came to church. And in the two or three hours but since I have shaved, my beard hasn't grown. That's literally what the 70 years of life is going to be like in the endless ages of eternity. No time at all. And God says, you must be born again, because if you don't, you are going to suffer unimaginable pain for the rest of eternity. Torment, Luke 16 says. The other Gospels call it
The pain is so bad, people are chewing their tongues. There was an old film many years ago, Dwayne, somebody or other was in it, about this sergeant, and some guy had broken his, he'd hurt himself badly, and he was crying out about the pain in his foot. He said, "Give me your hand, soldier." And he takes his hand, he breaks his fingers, and says, "Ah, you've broken my finger." He says, "Aye, but you don't feel the pain in your foot anymore, do you?" That's how bad the pain is in eternity. People gnaw their tongues trying to distract themselves from it. And not only that, but every single day there's going to be regret over poor decisions, the worst of decisions. "Oh, I wish I'd gotten saved. Oh, I wish I'd listened to my Sunday school teacher." There's wee John Stars. The copper said to him, "You should have listened to your Sunday school teacher." And he's dead and gone now. I don't know if he ever got saved. People, the Word of God says, will go to a place where their worm dieth not and the flames are not quenched forever. A lake of fire, outer darkness, never seeing the colours of the rainbow ever again. All that they will have is every single opportunity that they had to get saved. Every single Bible verse, even if it's only John 3 and verse number 16, rattling around in their minds forever, the promise of God for a free eternity in heaven that they turned their noses up at. But more than that, remember the one other thing that the rich man remembered. All the people that he knew. All the people that he was responsible for, all the people that any soul that goes to hell and then the lake of fire are responsible for, are more than likely heading that way too. And at last, when it's far too late to do anything about it, they start to care about souls, their own first and then that of everybody else. Do you know the best time to care about your own soul is now? Get saved. And the best time to care for other souls is now. Pointing them to the foot of the cross. It's too late when they're dead and gone. You ever got to the results time in a test when they're reading out the results and you know you didn't do well and you know that you're going to come in near the very, very end? That was me and biology and chemistry. I couldn't get to grips with them at all. Physics I loved. Maths was grand. Biology and chemistry, and I knew I was going to come in the last three or four. And you just slid down the chair, hoping that the teacher wouldn't notice. You were just waiting for the floor to open up so that you could drop away from it and never be bothered with those test results. Imagine that every day for the rest of eternity. And worst of all, knowing deep down in your heart that you deserve it. It could have been different, but you deserve it. People should be running to the Bible. People should be crying out at the foot of the cross, "Lord, save me." And Christians today, do you know what? If Christians today in this country were the Christians that they are supposed to be, there would be no gay marriage in this country. There would be no abortion in this country. There would be no laws favouring the homosexual, the Muslim, the black, the white, the red, the orange, the yellow, the green in this country. Everybody would get a fair shake. When we read these things and understand the souls whose lives right now and eternities forever depend upon the words that we speak and being where we're supposed to be, we ought to run. Now, that might sound like a finger wagging. What a lot of Christians don't actually realise is that doing what God wants is the best life to live. That doesn't mean I'm going to have to be fighting for a space behind the pulpit because everybody wants to come up and preach. I don't mind if you want to come up and read, that's grand. You come up and read. You pray. Preach. But it doesn't mean that everybody that's living the way God wants them to live has to be a preacher or a Sunday school teacher. God wants us all, right where we are, to be the Christians that he knows we could be. And something else, it's not difficult. It's only difficult when you're trying to straddle two worlds, like the guy on the pier in the boat. You know what's going to happen next, don't you? Whenever you ever see that on TV, you know what's going to happen. Going to go into the drink. God says, look, you do it my way. It's the best way. And he said, my commands are not grievous. In fact, he said, my yoke is easy. My burden is light compared to all that the world, feelings, and the devil want to tempt you with and load you down with. In times of difficulty, the Old Testament says time and time again, run to Jesus. He's our buckler, he's our shield, he's our strong and mighty tower. Even our own history talks about the towers that would be built in the middle of these earthen forts. And people would run to them and pull the ladder up. And it didn't matter what everybody else was doing 20 foot down below, they were all safe. Run to Jesus. Regardless of what it is, go to him first. Amen. Thank you all for your good time. God bless you. Look forward to seeing you again next appointed time. And pray you have a safe journey home. Well, would you dismiss us, please, if you would, brother?
Dear Father, thank you for your love, thank you for your grace, and thank you for salvation of the cross, which is by Jesus Christ, for your sakes, that we may be saved, Lord. And Lord, thank you for bringing us out to just today, to help us strength, Lord. You've given us, Lord, the freedom and the liberties that you've made them purchase for us. And you've given, Lord, Lord, give those that are lost for our land, Lord, save their souls, Lord. And send out the message of redeeming grace to them, Lord, and the Spirit to touch their hearts, Lord, to convict them of their sins, Lord. With the drug addict or the person that's dependent on alcohol, Lord, that can't get off from it, Lord. And Lord, also those that are feeling suicidal, especially those with exam conditions, Lord. And for the exams, Lord, help them, Lord, greatly, Lord, and stop them from their any suicidal thoughts, Lord. Bring the Lord Jesus Christ in perspective, Lord, to make turn from their sins, Lord, and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, Lord. Bless this day, Lord, before our land, Lord, and be for the church throughout this land, Lord, that only thy voice may be seen, Lord, and only people may be saved, only by the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins, Lord. Save our souls, Lord, mightily, Lord, and set up a standard in the land, Lord, to save us from sins, Lord, and Lord, save all the people from their sins, Lord, as well, Lord. And Lord, pray for the persona that has been released on the national open doors, Christians, all organizations, Lord. And indeed, us, Lord, use us to like, go and talk to those that are lost, Lord, about their eternal condition, Lord, that they may be saved by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. This day, Lord, thank you for your goodness, Lord, and thank you for us, and for thy honor, for thy glory, for Jesus Christ, again,
amen. Amen. Thank you. Well, folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Bump elbows, kick toes.